I am honoured and humbled to have been chosen by the Conservative Party to become its leader. We're going to give people more control over their lives. And that's how, together, we will build a better Britain. Thank you.
Welcome to a special edition of a Spectator podcast. That was Theresa May, who's just been named Britain's next Prime Minister. Her last remaining rival, Andrea Leadsom, dropped out this morning after saying she felt she couldn't command the support of her fellow MPs. I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by my colleagues Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth to discuss what surely must be the end to the most extraordinary period of British political drama in living memory. Now, James, do you think Andrea Leadsom was right to drop out of the race? I mean, it was the Tory party members she needed to win over to her side. She dropped out because she said the MPs couldn't work with her. Was it the right decision?
I think she was right, because what happened was Theresa May got 60% plus of the MPs. If Andrea Leadsom was consolidating kind of the roughly, I think it's about 35 to 40% of MPs who didn't vote for Theresa May, then she might well have been a viable Prime Minister. But what was happening was that most of the people who voted for Michael Gove were moving over to the Theresa May camp. So she really would have been quite an isolated figure in the leading the party. And I think the other problem is this, is she just simply wasn't ready for this level of scrutiny and exposure. You know, she had been a junior minister for 2 years. That does not prepare you for the level of interest that is taken in you when you're one vote away from number 10. There's an interesting thing. She's done an interview with The Telegraph today where she talks about how upset she was, how much she cried about the way that the Times interview came across, that she hadn't meant to draw a contrast between her and her children and Theresa May and not being able to have had children. But one thing that struck me about that was something that you don't see from someone who is a frontline politician, is you keep saying to the interviewer, don't put this in, but. Now, if you're doing that as a frontline politician, being interviewed by someone you don't know, you ask them to turn the tape off, then say it, then tell them to turn the tape back on. In all these little ways, she wasn't ready for the level of interest that there was going to be in someone who could be the next Prime Minister.
But Fraser, Theresa May's career has moved so fast in the past few hours. Yeah. We haven't actually had a leadership contest in which she has been scrutinised at all, have we?
I know, this is just awful for the Conservative Party. I mean, the Labour Party should have had a contest with Gordon Brown versus somebody else, anybody else, to put him through his paces, to find about what he was going to be like as a Prime Minister. They didn't. So right now, we're getting ready for Theresa May as Prime Minister, where we know very little about her views on a whole range of things. I mean, she has survived as Home Secretary. She has, by some measures, been a very effective Home Secretary. But we don't know hardly anything about her views, really, on economics, about her interpretation of Brexit. She keeps saying Brexit means Brexit. There are so many different forms of Brexit, and Brexit is the single most important thing that's happened to politics in this country. Now, my great concern is that she ends up implementing a very mean, cold-hearted version of Brexit, consistent with that caricatured by the Remain side during the referendum. Her position on EU immigrants, for example, I think is appalling. She wants to use them as bargaining chips. That is just what we know about. What other policies might she be about to bring to the country that we don't know about? So, yes, the Tory party is taking, we'll just say taking a risk. The members aren't being given a choice. And I spoke to one of her, Andrea Leadsom's campaign managers, just a few minutes ago. And he was saying that the, you know, needless to say, they regard it as an orchestrated attempt by number 10 to undermine Andrea. And he was saying just what you were saying, James, that there were so many MPs who had texted Andrea Leadsom or emailed her saying, look, I will not serve under your government and I'll do everything I can to undermine it. So according to my source, anyway, she thought that even if she did win, she would face a constant kind of fifth column ready to undermine her. I think that's a sort of slightly aggrieved way of saying that she couldn't command the trust of the party. I think that was absolutely true. So it's right that she's dropped out. It's not right that she was ever in the final two.
James, is this going to make it very difficult for Theresa May to manage the party, that she hasn't had this scrutiny that, as Fraser says, about her views, and that she is a former Remain campaigner, even though she has said Brexit means Brexit?
Well, the Theresa May camp wanted to take on a Leaver in the final two on the grounds it would give her a legitimacy to win out in the Tory membership in the country that voted predominantly for Leave, to win as a Remainer, you know, who now says Brexit means Brexit, would give her legitimacy. So I think there will be some disappointment in the May camp that they aren't going to get this this moment. But I think the other thing which was that May-Leadsom was clearly a very uneven contest. It wouldn't quite have had the same ring as if she'd taken on Boris Johnson and beaten him, for example.
But it would have been a contest, which, in my opinion, is better than no contest. But
yes, anyway. I think one of the reasons she might find it easier to reunite the party than people expect, for two reasons. One, I think there are a lot of Tory MPs who are pulling back from the edge. They have been taken aback by quite how bloody the last few weeks have been. The other thing is, both sides have had their pound of flesh. You know, if you are an outer who was angered by Project Fear during the campaign, you've seen David Cameron have to resign and George Osborne's leadership hopes dashed. If you're a Remainer who thinks that £350 million a week for the NHS and the suggestion that Turkey was likely to join the EU anytime soon were some of the greatest disgraces in British politics, you've seen Boris Johnson and Michael Gove both brought low by this leadership contest. So I wonder whether that might make it slightly easier than we expect for her to reunite the party.
And Fraser, how do you think the way Britain is governed is going to change? Theresa May has a very different approach to politics to David Cameron.
Well, she does, yes. And I've got a horrible feeling that Theresa May's cabinet in a majority Conservative government might be worse than the coalition cabinet. She doesn't really have much of an appetite for the sort of radical reform which I think is needed. The great risk is that she's a safety-first prime minister who has a safety-first cabinet. That her definition of success will be to make as few headlines as possible, to ruffle as few feathers as possible, and to basically preserve a status quo for as long as she can.
So a few radical reforms then?
I mean, she could surprise me. I mean, remember, she's a Remainer. And she will probably have, she might feel that she has to appoint some leavers to the main offices of state. So now we're having to think about her cabinet. Will George Osborne stay? I hope not, but he might do. What about Philip Hammond, who's been propping up so much recently to defend her? Will he end up as Chancellor, the job he was originally promised before the 2010 election? It could well be that she is quite a resilient woman, and she's taken Ken Clark's jibe against her, but she's a bloody difficult woman. As a badge of pride, she now introduces herself as a bloody difficult woman. You know, fair enough. There's a lot to be said for that. But if that comes to mean difficult as an intransigent, running away from the reform which I think the referendum demonstrated people need, then that will be a very bad thing. It will mean the Tories are pickled in aspic and that she will become the sort of Ted Heath reincarnation. Now, I like to think that she will be aware of her boring tendency and will appoint around her cabinet members, and there are plenty of them, really high-level, very impressive Tory ministers who could implement reform if given the licence. I hope she gives them that licence.
James, what are the names we should be looking out for in the next few days?
Well, in terms of what the people around her, I mean, I think on Fraser's point, one of the things that was quite striking was that the second hustings held of Tory MPs, Theresa May tries to take on this idea that she's a control freak and a micromanager. She said, look, you know, I'm going to bring back proper cabinet government. You know, the Chilcot report that had come out the day of the hustings, she said, demonstrated the need for that. She's trying to kind of emphasise that. She talked about a parliamentary policy board. She said she didn't want MPs to be surprised as often as they had been under the kind of Cameron-Osborne regime, and she didn't want as many U-turns as we'd seen under Cameron-Osborne. But I agree with what Fraser said in your question, which is, let's look at who she puts where in her cabinet. That will give us a good idea of what she's going to do. If it is Philip Hammond as Chancellor, that would suggest that an attempt to kind of minimise the risks of Brexit rather than trying to maximise the opportunities of it. Look to see who she puts in charge of the Brexit negotiation. You know, is it Chris Grayling, who was her campaign chairman and was a leaver? You know, what does she do with Michael Gove? Someone whom she has difficult personal relations but is believed to respect his kind of effectiveness as a departmental minister. I suspect that she will keep in his current job, maybe ending that old Justice Home Office split, but she wants to keep him away from the Brexit negotiations. That's just my instinct there. So look to see where she does, and also look to see, she doesn't have a gang in the way that most politicians have a gang. If most politicians became Prime Minister, we would instinctively know some people who would expect big promotions. In her case, there are some people, you know, George Hollingbury, her former parliamentary private secretary, her current parliamentary private secretary, Michael Ellis, Gavin Williamson, who's the Prime Minister's parliamentary private secretary, who played a very key role in her parliamentary campaign. All these people can expect jobs, but she doesn't have that kind of top team around her. But, you know, if George Osborne was becoming Prime Minister, we'd be able to write down most of the cabinet now. And just one thing to watch out for, Justin Greening, I think, has an interesting role, signed her nomination papers. I wonder if she could get a bigger job than we expect.
I think it's probably a mistake to look at Theresa May's character and project that as being the nature of the government for the next few years. It could go anyway, and all will depend, I think, on the first cabinet, which she should be appointing, I suspect, before, sooner rather than later. James, what do you think?
If you ask me to bet right now, I suspect David Cameron will do PMQs on Wednesday. He will then stand down on Wednesday afternoon at the Palace. Theresa May will then become Prime Minister and will have a new cabinet by the weekend.
Fraser and James, thank you very much. And you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes Store.
Now, this podcast was Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's politics-only podcast. We've released it as the normal Spectator podcast, so those who subscribe to the weekly podcast can get a taste for what the Politics Shots podcast is like, and subscribe to that too, if you like it. And also, don't forget, you can subscribe to our emails, The Evening Blend, which will tell you every evening just what's happened in politics and why. Thanks very much for listening.